headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studio. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work that they actually love, and create real, amazing relationships. This is a show about your life and your money. Christina Ellis, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. The phone number is 888-825-5225. That's 888-825-5225. Joe's in Lansing, Michigan, to start off this hour. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hey, Dave. It's an honor to speak with you.
You too. How can we help?
So I'm a little nervous to say this to Dave Ramsey himself, but I typically use credit cards for all my day-to-day transactions.
What?
I know. I'm actually wanting to switch over to cash, but every time I do switch to spending with cash, it seems like I actually spend more, mm-hmm. even if I do stay within my budget. Mm-hmm. For example, if I'm like at the grocery store and I have, say, $50 left in my budget towards the end of the month, mm-hmm. If I'm using cash and it's sitting there in my envelope, I'll go and grab a couple steaks, maybe a case of beer or something. Whereas if I'm using a credit card, already knowing that I've racked up $400 on this month's statement, it really keeps me away from, mm-hmm. Spending that little extra money and making that statement hurt that much more when it comes in the mail. So my question is basically, how can I kind of get over that mental hurdle and switch to using cash so I don't have to do business with people like Visa and MasterCard?
Okay. Well, the principle of this whole thing, the old grandma's old envelope system, and if you have a grocery envelope and you have the money for your grocery budget in the envelope, you can't spend that money on anything except groceries, and you can't spend it's all, and when it's empty, you quit buying. And so your problem is you're ending up with money left over, which means you might be overfunding the envelope.
Okay.
You might be overfunding the category, but the overall idea behind the thing is that we figured out years ago at Ramsey that personal finance is 80% behavior. And so mm-hmm. when we can do things that create friction, that create mental and emotional recognition of spending, then it tends to lower and control spending within a category. So, for instance, a more sophisticated version of that is on a website, if you have to click too many times and do too many hoops to make the purchase, people will bail on the cart.
Yeah, I've done that plenty of times. Yeah,
jump out because there's too much friction. The opposite end of that is Amazon Prime. You click buy now and it's on your porch in an hour or two, And so that's the ultimate in low friction situation. But what the research tells us, and research done by MIT, is that when people spend cash, it activates the pain centers of their brain. When you spend plastic, it does not.
I've heard you say that before.
Yeah, but it's not working with you for some reason. I don't know what's wrong with your brain, but
right.
So I don't care what I would tell you to do if you want to is switch to a debit card, not a credit card. And that's mm-hmm. coming out of your checking account, and that way there's no chance that you accidentally overspend a category and end up in debt. And then if you want to do that, that's fine. Years ago, I did that, for instance, with the gas pump. When I mm-hmm. started teaching this, you still had to go inside the store to pay for your gas. This is 35 years ago, right? And then they put those things at the pump where you don't even have to walk inside, and you stick your card in there. And what's interesting is the upheaval on high gas prices when you had to walk in the store and pay cash, the political firestorm was much higher because people noticed what they were paying. But when you don't even have to walk inside and you just put your little card in there and the only aggravation is you see a large number, but that's the only thing, then the political firestorm associated with high gas prices isn't as high because they're ready to string the president up the first time it went to $5 and we all paid cash. Now it's just kind of like, it's one of those things. And so, but that's what's going on. So I would use your debit card. Christina, you got a suggestion?
Yeah, I'm curious. You said that you'll walk into the grocery store sometimes with $50 and then go get some steaks and a case of beer. That sounds like more than $50. Have you had the experience?
Yeah. Right? What kind of cheap steak are you eating, man?
Have you had the experience when you get to check out and it's more than the $50? Or what's kind of been your parameters with that?
I more meant one or the other, not both at the same time. Yeah, that put me over $50.
And I'm like, that's kind of expensive.
My default setting is very frugal. I'm well under my means as is. Maybe I'm just getting too nitpicky about it, but
yeah. I think what amounts to is you don't get you very seldom were overspending before you met us.
Right.
And so all we're doing is giving you some guidelines and some mechanical processes. So
yeah, what baby step are you in right now?
I guess technically I'm in 6, but I'm doing more than the 15% in my retirement.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very good.
It doesn't feel like I'm in 6 yet. I still feel like I'm a youngin'.
Yeah, you know what? You need to buy more stuff. You're too cheap. You need to enjoy some of your money. Really?
I don't have any to enjoy still.
Well, you had some left over and didn't want to buy a steak. I mean, so I want you to enjoy some of your money a little bit at the grocery store. That's okay. You don't have to be on beans and rice at this stage. And so here's the thing. A lot of people, most people that we deal with are spenders in our culture. But occasionally we run into a frugal person like you, and we all have to learn all three. We have to develop all three money muscles, the generosity muscle, the saving investing muscle, and the spending muscle. And the spending muscle means wise spending, but doing some. We have to enjoy money. We have to save and invest it, and we have to be generous. And if you're not doing, and frugal people tend to leave that one off, and spenders tend to not do either one of the other ones because they just spend it all on themselves. But that's what we run into.
Right. I don't think that he expected such an affirming response after calling it about credit cards.
Well, there is that. But yeah, I would chop up the credit card for sure and get a debit card. That's not a question. We're anti-credit card here. There's just so many things that can go wrong with the use of a credit card, and the debit card will do everything the credit card will do. It has the same fraud protections. I travel all over the world with my debit cards. I don't have any issues with them that any of you don't have with your credit card. All of us get the fraud alert, sometimes, and and all this. And did you buy $3 worth of gas in Canada? Nope, I didn't. So something wrong there. That we all get those things, right? So I carry debit cards. That's all I carry. Our company has debit cards, hundreds of them, with our team that travels and everything else. And so, and they use cash as well. We don't have a company credit card at Ramsey. None of us do. And we don't even have, and I certainly don't have any at home. Although, Christina, full disclosure, after 30 years of doing this, I'm still trying to get Sharon to call it a debit card.
What did she call it?
She still says, hand me the credit card. After 35 years of me telling people not to use a credit card, my own wife is a traitor. No, I'm kidding. No, she actually knows what it is, but she just forgets. She's like, give me the credit card. And I'm like, no, don't say that out loud. Somebody will hear you. You're Sharon freaking Ramsey. You'll start a rumor. There'll be a whole Reddit thread over you. This is The Ramsey Show. Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. There are moments in life we don't want to forget, like your kid's graduation or the once-in-a-lifetime trip. For the big moments, the everyday moments, and everything in between, every dollar is there to help you budget for all of it. It's the simple budgeting app that helps you plan, save, and spend for the important things. Budget for the life you really want, every moment of it. Download the app or check the link in the show notes to create your free account today. Every dollar. Christina Ellis, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. You jump in. We'll talk about your life and your money. Heather's with us in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Heather. Welcome to The Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave and Christina. Thanks so much for taking my call today.
Absolutely. How can we help?
So I paid my, I had student loans starting from 2012, and I have been actively paying exactly as I should, never went into deferment, paid all the way through the pandemic, and then decided to make a lump sum to pay off, pay them completely off in January of 2021.
Wonderful.
I recently found, but I recently found out that I would qualify for, that I very likely would qualify for the Biden student loan forgiveness. And I'm wondering if there should be any moral dilemmas or misgivings about this, because I don't, you know, I don't need this money. I'm on baby steps 4, 5, and 6. And so should I have any misgivings about possibly applying for this forgiveness?
I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you what your morals are. So I can tell you where, okay, so kind of, let's talk about a couple of metaphors, all right, to kind of walk alongside this on ethics. A lot of ethics things are, if you answer them and say, how would I want to be treated if I were on the other side of this? If you're on the other side of something from another party, then you could look at that. That's a little difficult here because this is the government you're on the other side of. So it's kind of like who gives a rip on that part of it. But like, you know, we tell people not to use credit cards. We're just talking about that. And then we have sometimes a business owner who's gone through Financial Peace University, paid off a bunch of credit cards, gotten rid of all their credit cards, only has debit cards, and they hate credit cards, and they own a pizza restaurant. Now, is it a moral dilemma for them to take a credit card? I tell them it's not a moral dilemma for them to take a credit card. Because they don't, I'm a public figure. I come out, tell people don't use credit cards. So for me to use a credit card would be pretty much straight up hypocrisy, right? I came out and the state of Tennessee passed this ridiculous lotto a few years ago. And I knew the data on the lotto before they passed it. The data on lottos, if you guys out there don't know, is the state of Tennessee uses the lotto money to send people to college. Okay, you get $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 or whatever if you live in the state of Tennessee towards your college from the lotto fund. However, the lotto is primarily played by people in poor zip codes. So it's pretty much poor people sending rich people, middle class people to school. And so I raised hell about that when they're passing it in the state of Tennessee. I lost. The state passed it. It's been going for a decade or more. And when my kids went to college, you know, they qualify for, it's not income based at all. Everybody can get the $3,000. So do I go get the $3,000? No. I'm a public figure that campaigned against it. For me to go take that money then would be hypocritical. But Heather, on the other hand, you're more like the pizza store owner. You haven't publicly come out and decried on the front page of the Wall Street Journal that this whole thing is a scam and a bunch of freaking communists running D.C. and I, you know, like I have, right? And so you're not in the same position of the Ramsey personalities. Any Ramsey personality to take student loan forgiveness, as hard as we've come out against it, would be inconsistent. But you know, if our a young lady, 25 years old, is a creative and works somewhere inside of Ramsey, is she morally wrong to take the forgiveness? No, it's a government program. She didn't steal anything. She didn't do anything wrong. It's not, she's not being a ne'er-do-well. So I don't think you have a moral thing. I also am okay if you decide you don't want to take it on moral grounds. Either one would be fine with me is what I'm trying to say. I don't know. You got a lot of thoughts about this.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people the last several weeks. I've done a lot of Facebook and Instagram lives, hearing people's opinions, and it's just all over the place. A lot of people are really upset about it. A lot of people are super excited about it. And there's just the whole range of emotions. And I think it's hard because I actually put a poll out on my Instagram to see, you know, how people felt. And about 80% of the people that responded had negative reactions. They weren't happy about the forgiveness and all of that. So I could understand if maybe your friends are frustrated about the forgiveness, that you're probably a little bit hesitant. And I think it's okay to say, hey, you know what? I don't know that Washington should have made this decision. Maybe you disagree with the decision and also still go, but the decision's been made and I'm going to go ahead and get the forgiveness. Like I think, like Dave said, it really just depends on your own morals and what you decide. But I think you can feel multiple emotions at the same time. be frustrated if you want to be frustrated about the decision, but also realize the decision's been made. Possibly, obviously, there's still some loopholes that have to be gone through.
we'll see. Yeah.
We'll see, but also still get the forgiveness. I don't think it's really, you know, bad if you end up getting some of that money back.
Yeah, and you know, I guess another metaphor, and this is probably a little bit harsh of a metaphor, but, you know, a lady called in one time that was a single mom who had lost her job and had two little kids. And, you know, she said, I'm morally opposed to welfare, but I need to take it to feed my kids right now. And I said, well, are you going to take it as a way of life for the next 50 years? No, just till I can find something to work to do. And I said, honey, that's what welfare is for. Go get your kids some food. As a taxpayer that's paying for that, I'm okay with that. Now, do I want to finance you doing that the rest of your life? No, that's not good for you. It steals your dignity. But I'm not saying you're some kind of horrible deadbeat single mom feeding your kid with a welfare check. I mean, you know, until you're able to land a job.
Yeah.
And so that's the same kind of thing. That's probably even more visceral or harsh than this discussion. But I'm going to be your friend either way, Heather, is what I'm saying. It doesn't bother me. But I think that people would judge me harshly were I to take that, or my family were to take that, after I've taken a public person's stand on it. And I think that would be accurate to judge me that way, because I think that'd be hypocritical. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just was feeling a little conflicted that, you know, I on one hand, I can think of a lot of ways that I can, you know, I have a 529 for my daughter that I could put that money into.
There you go.
I'm adopting next year. But then at the same time, I know that I don't need that money when so many other people do, that it's really intended
for. Well, you're not taking it from someone that would have gotten it if you weren't around. Like, they're not going to go, hey, Heather got hers and we're out, so Joan, you don't get any because Heather took it. That's not how the program's going to work, okay? So it's just going to be. Now, I will tell you one other thing to think about, and this is to thoroughly not answer your question. The other thing I do sometimes, particularly when we're dealing with things where I feel like I'm right on something, but I'll just do it anyway out of kindness or generosity. Because and the rule I use on that is, when I'm 82 laying on my deathbed, which way am I going to be happy I did this? Inside my heart of hearts, in my soul. Am I going to be happy I gave this a little bit more, even though the server was horrible, but I left a little bit bigger tip? I'm never going to be mad at myself when I'm 82 laying on my deathbed doing that. But shorten them, I might come up later and go, gosh, I wish I'd have been nicer, you know? And so when in doubt, don't kind of thing. And that makes you further conflicted. But the biggest concern I got about the whole thing is you're worried about it, which kind of means you shouldn't do it in a way. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. But that's not a moral blanket I would throw over everyone out there listening to this conversation. I think we've made that clear. But people are pissed. And we can wrap it up with this. I kind of don't think it's going to happen anyway. I really don't. Because they announced this, and they never told the Department of Education anything about it before they announced it. And they never told studentloan.gov. And they never told, you know, none of the website, none of the administrative things. There's 33 million people they've got to process, and they didn't even tell the agencies that are going to process before they announced it. It kind of makes me think they think it's not going to happen.
Man, but if it doesn't happen at this point, it's going to be a train wreck.
Oh.
Either direction.
We'll see. They'll blame it on the Republicans. This is The Ramsey Show. So here's a quick math refresher. There are only 24 hours in a day, so your business needs to streamline tasks that are time suckers and focus on activities that make money. So to reduce headaches as they scale, smart businesses use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite helps you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform. So join the more than 37,000 smart businesses like Ramsey Solutions that have done the math and graduated to NetSuite. And right now, you can download NetSuite's KPI checklist absolutely free at netsuite.com/Ramsey. That's netsuite.com/Ramsey. Christina Ellis, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage. Patrick and Kelly are with us. Hey, guys, how are you?
Great. Awesome, Dave. How are you and Christina?
Better than we deserve. We're so honored to have y'all. Where do y'all live?
We are traveling in from the Richmond, Virginia area, Chesterfield, Virginia.
Fun. That's a nice area. Welcome to Nashville. How much debt have you paid off?
$332,000.
Way to go. And how long did this take?
Just a little bit under 6 years.
Good for you. And your range of income during that time?
We started out about 90 and finished up around 130.
Good. What do you guys do for a living?
I was a sales rep mm-hmm. for a company and became a training manager.
Okay.
I was a prenatal educator with one of the local health facilities, but great. I'm now retired.
Oh, good for y'all. Way to go. Okay, $332,000 over 6 years. I'm going to guess and say that might be your house.
It does include the house, but the
I'm
house...
looking at weird people.
Yes,
yes,
that's awesome.
The house was just about half of it, so we had $188,000 of consumer debt.
Whoa!
And it took us 3 years to clean that mess up.
What
it,
in the world did you borrow on?
Dave, I had this red credit card with the little white circles on it that had about $20,000 on it.
You were able to hit the target.
Yes, we
sure
were.
Did.
Too many times.
Hit it and hit it and hit it again. Seriously, that was how much of the 188 was target?
18.
Yeah.
18,000? Okay,
yeah.
Well, 10% of it. What was the rest of it?
We had two cars mm-hmm. and a bunch of other credit cards. We actually have this frame that we cut up our credit cards and put them into. We had.
Oh, yeah, I've got it on the screen. Yeah. Excellent.
That's what 32 credit cards looks like.
Oh!
Yeah.
We
share that with our classes that we teach or coordinate for FPU. And
thank you.
Yes. It's a big lesson in you know, what not to do with yeah. credit cards.
So if some guy comes in there with 7 credit cards, he don't feel dumb after seeing that.
No.
Way to go, you guys.
Thank you. We also had a $54,000 student loan for our youngest daughter, mm-hmm. Carly. Mm-hmm. And Dave, that's a story in itself. One night I woke up and I was like, we thought we were debt-free. We paid off a $90,000. We thought we were debt-free. I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, we got a student loan we co-signed for. And I got up, I started Googling, what would Dave say about cosigned student loans? Mm. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, Kelly woke up, and I'm like, hey, we're not debt-free. Look, this is what Dave says.
Oh.
And she started crying. We had thought we were so close, but we knew that was ours, so we took that on and hit it with gazelle intensity also, and that was the last component of that $188,000.
Wow. Well, you guys have been getting after it for a long time.
Yes.
I mean, this is a pull.
Yeah. So what really started the journey? What lit that fire to get you guys on the road?
I have to let Kelly answer that.
Oh, that's all on me. We were gifted by one of our daughters, the Total Money Makeover. And I looked at it, and just before she gave us that book, I was doing the bills, and it was ugly. I was sick to my stomach every time I had to rob Peter to pay Paul, and it wasn't working. So I read your book in a day, and I took it to him, and I said, we're in a mess, and we got to figure out how to take care of it. I said, I want you to look at, you know, what this man recommends. And he looked, he says, that's not going to work.
You can tell by the cover.
Yeah exactly. So then he finally sucked it up and said, you know, all right, let's give it a try. Let's do it his way. Well, in the meantime, our church was just starting some groups, and FPU was listed. I signed us up for him, and I didn't tell him.
Uh-oh.
I told him we did sign up for a marriage group. So I said, I signed up for two groups. One's a marriage group, and the other one's, you know, just another group that we're going to attend. And he went reluctantly. By the second class, I think he was...
ready to teach
He was
it.
Ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah, you say, Dave, you say, if it's not working my way, then I should try somebody else's way. And I think my pride broke through during that second class, and I became open-minded. But she did trick me into going to FBU, and it was one of the best things that ever happened to us.
That's a good wife right there.
Yes.
I mean, 6 years and over $300,000, that's a long journey. And then you had that surprise with the student loan, $50,000. How did you stay motivated for that long?
Yeah, the motivation came from teaching or coordinating the FPU classes. Yeah. We will actually start our 15th class next Wednesday.
You're like super coordinated.
Yes. And friends that are here with us, Scotty and Shelly Bryan, they have been very supportive throughout the process. They've continued to cheerlead for us. They went through our class in 2019. And Dave, just to share, they also just paid off their house last Friday.
All right.
So they are now baby step seven. Ooh, also.
Ooh, yeah. This is great. We got a group right here, man. This is fun. You guys are amazing. Okay, after all this, mm-hmm. now you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and there's not a payment in the world,
not even
a house payment. How old are you two?
So I'll be 50, or I just turned 55.
Mm-hmm. How long y'all been married?
33 years.
Have you ever been debt-free before now?
No.
Now when you wake up at 6 in the morning and you don't have a payment in the world, how does it feel?
Mm-hmm. It is so awesome, Dave. We added a line item to our budget as we became debt-free. It's our gift line item. So above and beyond tithing, we now are able to bless others and share.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the most fun you'll ever have, isn't it?
So
it sure is.
So fun.
Sure is.
You guys are amazing. Y'all are amazing. Thank you so much for leading 15 Financial Peace University classes, sharing this story. You guys are troopers. What do you tell people the secret to getting out of debt is? Because you're experts.
Staying on budget and being content with what you have.
Mm. Yeah, that was a huge lesson for me, Dave. We didn't just try to keep up with the Joneses. We actually tried to be the Joneses. And so we were living... pretending to be wealthy, and now we can actually work our way to truly living like we should.
Yeah, you're on your way. Very, very cool.
We talked to a lot of people who have a ton of consumer debt. I love that you guys paid off the consumer debt and the mortgage, and these people are looking at six figures of debt thinking there's no way I could ever do this. What would you tell those people?
It's all about the desire to do it, as well as the motivation, and together, you know, we just put our head down, really focused on the debt and the budget. The budget is so critical, and being content and being happy to say, you know, this is not us today. This is not for us today. We'll get it when time comes.
No means not yet.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Right.
Good for y'all. Hey, we got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. That's the next chapter in your story if you're not already there. And also a Total Money Makeover book for you to give away and disturb some other couple. I like that. And a Financial Peace University one-year membership. I'm sure you'll find a good use for that as super coordinators. Find somebody that's deserving that you can send through that. So all of those are gifts for you to re-gift and at our pleasure. And we thank you. Thank you guys for sharing. We're so proud of y'all. You're amazing.
Thank you.
You're heroes, man. You did it. Yeah, baby. This is how it works. Patrick and Kelly, Richmond, Virginia. $332,000 paid off in 6 years, making 90 to 130. Debt-free house and everything. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
Three, two, one.
We're debt-free.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is you can do this. If you're listening to this right now, you're watching this right now, you can do this. It's very doable. It's hard, but it's doable. This is The Ramsey Show. Christine Ellis Ramsey Personality is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Joe is with us in Orlando, Florida. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave. Huge fan. Thanks for having me. How are you today?
Better than I deserve. What's up in your world?
Yeah, so, well, I want to say thanks to that last couple for the great testimony and for being the toughest act to follow ever. my good news is that leading up into 2020, completed all the baby steps, was really rolling, have up to 75K in retirement funds as a 32-year-old. In 2020, I got married, and then we both got master's degrees. So my big downer is that we actually now have 85K in student loan debt. And when I talk to the very, successful people, they tell me, well, you should start paying that off, but also, no matter what, contribute to your 401K so you get the match. But I have a feeling you're going to tell me that I should completely stop contributing to that 401K to pay off the debt.
Why do you have that feeling?
Well, I've watched you a few times, but I haven't had to revisit the Dave Ramsey scriptures since 2020. So I'm calling to maybe get a kick in the butt and curious what you would say to those wealthy folks who took that strategy of still contributing to their 401k while paying off debt.
Yeah. I would say that they are not as wealthy as maybe they're projecting themselves to be, or that they're unusual. I'll answer that question first. When we studied the millionaires, 10,167 people who became millionaires, 90% of which became millionaires starting from nothing. They did not inherit money to make them millionaires, meaning they did this, they built wealth. The vast majority of them, there were some that followed the plan you're talking about, but the vast majority of them, concentrated on getting rid of debt and then used the freed up income to build wealth with, because your most powerful wealth building tool is your income. Now, can the way you're working it, or you're talking about working it, work? Yes, it can. The reason that we've had more success than a lot of people in helping people build wealth is not because of the mathematics of this discussion, but because of the behavior aspects of this discussion. And what we found is, and it kind of runs against my math nerd brain, but what we found is the psychology of this whole thing is more important than the math is. You get the psychology right, the math ends up taking care of itself. Here's what I mean. Very few people can be consistent and intense on three things at once. That lack of focus, that lack of being dialed in on a singular goal causes people to not accomplish the goal. So it's very difficult to, I'll use something you said, get your master's degree while running 10 marathons in a year. Okay? They're both excellent goals. There's nothing wrong with both, but it requires a level of diligence and singularity of focus to complete Herculean tasks. And when you screw around with them, you end up not doing the marathons or not doing the NBA, or worse, not doing both, because you try to do too many things at once and so much stuff on your plate. And Earl Nightingale, the father of motivational speaking, grandfather of motivational speaking, used to say that the difficulty of achieving the goal is not what keeps people from achieving the goal as often as the things that they try to do while they're trying to do the goal. And so all of that is my pitch for singularity of purpose, meaning, I'm stopping everything temporarily. What's your household income, by the way?
About $160,000 a year.
Okay, so you're going to be debt-free in under 2 years.
Okay. Yeah, if we really behaved ourselves,
I'm presupposing that with this whole discussion, because if you don't behave yourself, the other people's plan doesn't work either.
Understood. Yeah, I mean, I was on a three year plan, given some emergency fund expenses, but
yeah, you're still going out to eat, you're still going on vacations, you're still screwing around
a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 160,000, you ought to be able to find 40 of it in a year. That's 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
It's pretty wimpy.
Yeah. Well, sure. I think it feels hard because you've already worked through the baby steps and you got that pride and that excitement in 2020 of having everything paid off. And now it's kind of like a drag to have to go back and go, oh, man, we got to do this again. And I love that you called in knowing what Dave's going to say. I mean, you already know that you got to go back through this. You know that it's going to be hard. You're familiar with the work and the effort. I think it's just really accepting deep down that this journey is, you know, starting again, that you're back in baby step two. And with that, I would encourage you to go back through FPU or maybe even coordinate a class, you know, listening to the last debt-free scream. You know, they really helped other people while they were helping themselves, and that produces motivation. So I think the biggest challenge right now is like digging deep in your soul to figure out, you know, how are we going to get
but don't go lead a class if you're going to keep doing this other plan, okay? That'd be true. Hypocritical. We don't need coordinators half butt doing stuff, okay? So if you're going to half butt do it, don't do the class. That doesn't work. So you know, here's the thing, Joe, you're going to do what you're going to do. You know, you're obviously not dumb people. You make almost a couple hundred thousand dollars a year. You both have graduate degrees. You're not dumb people. You just got to decide what the fastest right way with the highest probability of success in the shortest period of time is. Our plan has taught 10 million people and made more millionaires than all your little friends sipping their lattes talking together put together have. So you just got to decide who you're going to listen to. I'm not a college professor who never made payroll. I'm not operating on tenure here. This is real people doing real stuff. 10 freaking million people have gone through Financial Peace University. There are tens of thousands more millionaires all over America just because they did exactly what we said to do. Now, you can decide you don't want to do that, and that doesn't mean you're dumb. The other way will work, but the question is, what is the fastest right way that has the highest probability of success, least probability of failure along the way? And it is getting rid of this debt in under 2 years, completely focusing, beans and rice, rice and beans. You fell off the wagon, you went $80,000 in debt, look in the mirror and go, stupid, I got to fix this. And that's the fastest right way to address it. Now, you can screw around with all these other people's plans and, you know, you can watch TikTok and they've all got an opinion about money. But there's a reason they're on TikTok, okay? So think about it. You know, you got to look at this. You got to figure it out. Here's the thing. If I hire a personal trainer, he walks in, he's got an 8-pack, and I got a keg, I got to decide if I'm going to do his plan or my plan. You know, you just got to decide which one I'm going to go with here.
Yeah, and I love what you said about very few people can be consistent and intense on three things at once.
You can't.
That is really powerful. I think a lot of people are seeing all this get-rich-quick stuff out in the market now, and they think that they can do all these things, and they're the one that's going to figure out the strategy of how to invest in all these cool, fancy things, and they're going to pay off their debt at the same time, and then they wake up 5 years later, and it did not work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why this whole idea of life balance is so stupid. It just doesn't work. You don't have a quality life if every single day is parsed out, balanced across the nine areas of your life, your spiritual walk, you know, your physical fitness, your marriage, your kids, your education, your intellect, your work life. You know, when you spread all those things out and try to do them all in one day, nothing gets done.
It's true.
You're training for a marathon. Your Bible study may end up sitting to the side a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're trying to read through the Bible in a year, you may not end up hitting the street every day and running 5 miles every day.
And it's not
something's gonna trade off, baby, in order for you to win at the other thing. And over the scope of your life, you need to touch all these areas. But in a given day, a given week, or even a given season, no, you're not supposed to have life balance.
Well, and you'll get to those goals later. And you'll get to building wealth. You'll get to paying off your house. That's going to come in the baby steps. But be willing to make the sacrifices and do the hard now so that you can really win with those goals later.
Live like no one else, so later you can live and give like no one else. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it yields a harvest of righteousness. This is The Ramsey Show. Dave here. We just launched a brand new audience survey for The Ramsey Show, and we'd love your feedback. You could be entered to win a $500 Visa gift card. No purchase necessary. Take the survey at RamseySolutions.com/survey.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. Ever wondered how to win in business and leadership? I'm George Camel, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear exceptional advice, origin stories, and practical strategies for success. These weekly conversations with America's brightest business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs will help you succeed in all areas of business and leadership. Listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.